to our next case, which is Smith v. Sangamon County. Mr. Craddock. Where's Mr. Craddock? No, Mr. Craddock?
There he comes.
Is that Mr. Craddock?
I think so.
Hey, Mr. Craddock?
Yes.
Okay, your turn.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Jason Craddock, representing the appellant, Jimmy Smith. And this is a case that, during summary judgment, morphed into a single Monell claim that attacked an express policy of the Sangamon County Sheriff's Department, Sangamon County Jail. Just to cut to the chase, the district court, one thing the district court did not do, and I have not seen from the appellant, or appellee, excuse me, was to apply the proper test to our allegation of a facially unconstitutional policy. Which we did attack this policy on its face, this policy of classification of inmates. I would argue that the standard announced by the Turner versus Safley case in a Supreme Court case should have been applied to this classification.
What is it exactly you complain about, their classification system? What is it you think is... Is it just the fact that they don't distinguish between violent and nonviolent felonies when they look at your prior criminal history? Is that it?
Judge Posner, that is part of it, but I wouldn't say that that's our entire problem with this policy. What happens by not focusing enough on the criminal history or the actual criminal offense of the inmate or gang history, or excuse me, I'll say it this way. What the problem with the assessment of points is that it's irrational because the same things that should keep a person away from being housed with violent inmates is often what gives them the amount of points that puts them in with violent inmates. In this case, the policy itself states that they will look at a criminal history, or they'll look at gang membership, but then they also have a catch-all that, or any other reason that we, you know, that the system, the classification system deems appropriate to place someone in maximum security. One of the testimony from the classification officer, Kirby, which is attached in our appendix and is in the record, I believe at page 578, he actually said that the reason Mr. Smith was given or had points deducted and was placed in maximum security was because he was a, quote, special problem inmate. And what made him a special problem inmate was the fact that he got moved around a lot. And as the record shows, he got moved around a lot because he was getting attacked a lot, because he wasn't a violent person and he had issues with depression.
Well, you know, I don't buy that. He was in fights, right?
He was in fights, but the record shows that he did not start any of those fights, and nor did he even participate in them.
Start any fights?
He didn't participate in them either. He was hit.
Did they have some sort of?
No, but does he provoke fights?
I didn't. That's not showing from the record.
That's the problem for the prison, right? They know the guy. Someone has been involved in a lot of fights. They don't know the history of the fights. Who started it? Was it provoked? Does this guy cause fights wherever he goes because he has a mouth or something, or what? Right? That's their problem. So they figure if someone gets into fights, that's a reason for, you know, putting him in a maximum security wing of the prison. They can't investigate all these fights, right?
Well, I would argue they could investigate them, and I would also argue that's not the only reason.
They don't have that much time. I mean, look at all the people they have to classify. I mean, dizzying, the number of people. And so they use this, you know, this table with the points and so on. It's not perfect, obviously, but I don't know what you can realistically require of a prison.
Again, we would argue it gives the type of vague discretion that is given to the classification officer, and even the way the policy is worded.
You eliminate the discretion. You would expand the discretion in some ways if you want them to investigate every fight and make some assessment of his responsibility for it, right? That's what you're asking.
Well, I'm asking that. What we're arguing is that, first, this policy is the test that's laid out by Turner v. Safley. The test is this policy reasonably related to legitimate penological interests. The first question is there a rational relation between the county jail's interests and the policy? We would say it's not. Again,
but you're arguing with the details of the policy. You're not saying they shouldn't have a policy.
I'm not saying they shouldn't have a policy. I'm saying the policy as it is written violates the fundamental right of prisoners to...
Maybe we could state this positively. What would a constitutionally adequate classification policy consist of?
What it would consist of would be, Judge Sykes, the... again, looking more closely at the criminal, first of all, the underlying offense. What is the person there for? In this case, we had a fight between a guy brought in for armed robbery and aggravated battery, and a guy who was arrested for false impersonation.
So the flaw in this system is that it didn't assess points for the charge that brought the person into the jail?
Well, it did assess points for the charge, but it didn't. In assessing other points, brought these two inmates together and brings any number of inmates together regardless of their... Actually, the policy states on its face, it starts by saying they look at the offense and the criminal history, and then the very next line is a catch-all, you know, or anything else, basically. So in other words, what they looked at in the criminal history really doesn't matter.
Anything
at the end of the day.
What are you looking at?
So first I would look at the offense and then the...
What are you looking at in this classification chart, assessment chart? What are you looking at?
Well, first there should be more of a delineation between what are the people brought to the jail for? Is the offense a violent crime?
You just said that the system accounts for that.
It appears to account for that, but then it undercuts itself in the very... When you read on under the description of a maximum security housing unit and who's placed there, the exception swallows the rule, in a sense. So what I'm saying is it ought to stay with focusing on the underlying offense that brought them in, and also is there gang membership or not. Mr. Smith was never in a gang, and the person who attacked him was in a gang. Beyond that, then you'd have to look at rival gangs, which that's not an issue here, but that would certainly be necessary for a classification system.
So are you complaining about the 2 points he got for documented special problems? Is that what this comes down to?
Not only those 2 points. Had there been more of an emphasis on the criminal history and on the offenses, and maybe looking at Mr. Smith's demeanor, looking at what are these special problems.
If they looked at his demeanor, you'd be arguing that they were using a subjective method of classification.
I'm not sure that I would... they can take his demeanor into account.
But that makes their classification system now subjective.
What do you mean by demeanor in this context?
He was, in this case, you know, he was a very depressed person. He was very, very meek, very mild, not, you know, totally the opposite of the one who attacked him, you know, who was very bombastic. And by the way, there was evidence that he attacked others.
He was a burglar. right?
He had committed burglary, but that's
yeah,
not...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty... That's for tough guys, right?
It's the opposite of armed robbery, I would submit.
No, I don't think it's the opposite. You break into someone's house, you're taking a risk of a confrontation. What does he burglarize?
He had burglarized his for his place of employment. And that, by the way, that was not the offense of why he was in prison at this time.
Part of his record, which is relevant to knowledge.
Again, that's
he
not.
He has an extensive criminal record. What does it consist of? How extensive?
That's the defense's words are that it was extensive.
How extensive?
I think a handful of burglaries, and then there was this false impersonation charge, and no crimes against persons at all. I would argue the record's not extensive. My time is up.
But you know, of course, the Armed Criminal Career Act, I think, and the career offender guidelines classify burglary as a crime of violence, don't they?
I'm not aware of. I'd have to see that. I didn't look at that classification.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Hardy. Mr. Kradock. Sorry, Mr. Hardy.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is William Hardy. I represent the Sangamon County Sheriff's Department and several individual officers who are not a part of this appeal. As Mr. Kradock noted, all of the individual claims were dismissed. The questions that you've asked Judge Posner and Judge Sykes illustrate the problem with this. You mentioned fighting. Actually, what the record shows here is there was one fight before this, and what happened was another inmate who was mopping the floor, that was his job, asked the plaintiff to move, and he refused to move. He said, I'm not going to move. He was reading a Bible. So the guy hit him. He's transferred. He didn't challenge that. He never challenged the whole time he was there his classification as being in maximum housing.
So the person who is the victim of an assault in the jail gets hit with a fighting charge?
Well, that's not the issue in the case. I mean, there were claims in this case initially that there was deliberate indifference. I think the magistrate judge in his
right. I'm talking about how the classification policy takes it. The classification policy neutrally takes into account any prior disciplinary infractions or apparently reports of discipline or adjudicated discipline.
It basically is his entire record in the jail. But
you're not saying he was disciplined for having been hit.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
You're saying he was a participant in a fight. That's what this document of special problems is not a disciplinary record. It's just
it's not
anything that makes you worried about his.
That's exactly correct. And Your Honor, that's not the reason he was placed in maximum detention in the first place. That he went to segregation for 2 days, and then he was moved to D block, where for over 2 weeks there were no reported problems. Mr. Newell, the person who did this, there's no evidence anywhere of the record, as the plaintiff ultimately concedes, that anyone with the department knew anything about him threatening the plaintiff
or anyone else.
But
the classification system, one of the inputs in the classification system is this previous incident during a prior stay in the jail for which he was a victim, not a perpetrator.
No, that's not accurate. The timeline here is when he was admitted in February of 2005, they went through the classification process. He had the prior burglary. He had a prior incarceration of in excess of 12 months. They had documented an extensive criminal history and so forth. So he's placed in maximum at that point. I was simply responding to Mr. Craddock's argument that he had this history of being beaten up and picked on and so forth, and he was a victim. The only incident that I'm aware of occurred after that classification process. So he was classified in the maximum. Then there's this one incident where he refuses to move and he's struck and he's cited for fighting.
Okay.
But it had nothing to do...
So that had, didn't have anything to do with his classification when he came into the jail?
No.
So to the extent that this is an attack on the classification system, and I understand that's all we've got left in this case?
Correct.
It's totally irrelevant.
I agree.
Okay.
Well, I agree.
Well, what is this documented special problems?
Well,
the, you got 2 points.
The
that was the fighting.
Well, I'm not sure that it was documented special problems. It was.
Well, that's what's checked here.
Had a let me look at the. This is the one from
February 28th, 2005.
Right, February 28th of 2005. If you go back to the one from 219 of 02, when he was initially classified, he didn't have any specific problems. He,
you so what is this doc under Roman numeral 5, institutional record, says documented special problems.
Well, I
believe... That's what gives him 2 points, right?
That's correct.
Now, what are those special problems?
I'm not sure that the record reflects that other than...
How is the fighting that he, which according to your opponent, he's constantly being beaten up. But what other documented special programs problems are there? Because this gives, this is a quarter of his points.
This...
2 out of 8 points.
2 out of 8 points, that's correct. I'm not sure that the record reflects that other than the affidavit says that the officer went through his prior records at the facility and he had a... he had a record of being a problem inmate. You know, again,
we don't know what the problems were.
I don't think the record reflects that actually. But again, we're getting into a claim against the individual officer for what would be argued would be deliberate indifference, rather as opposed to a problem with the classification system itself. The whole problem here is that the plaintiff has limited the case to the policy itself.
Right. You're saying that the county isn't responsible for how a particular officer fills out the form. That's what you're saying. We're talking about the form.
That's correct. But and perhaps I opened up this can of worms myself by getting into this fighting incident, but I simply wanted to respond to the plaintiff because he portrays his client as a victim, and when you look at his brief and the cites to the record, what he's talking about are all of the things discovered after the fact. This thing with Newell, there were interviews done. They investigated that fully. And at that point, there were some people who said, yeah, Newell was picking on the plaintiff. But there's absolutely no evidence that any defendant knew about it. And, of course, that's not an issue now anyway. So I just don't see it here. This is... you know, the policy itself, and I would invite you to read it. It's in the record at document 67-3-3, pages starting on page 24 or 23 of 42. And the point system itself is based on the American Correctional Association standards. This is not something they just made up out of thin air. I would suggest to you that this is in... used by jails all over the country. And it's very unfortunate what happened to the plaintiff here, but there's no constitutional violation here. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. All right, Mr. Craddock, do you have anything further?
Yes.
Again, we would argue that on the face of the policy, if you apply the Turner v. Safley test, it fails. There isn't a valid rational connection between the...
Okay, what's bad on the face?
I'd like to... The best way to answer that is to quote part of the policy where it describes maximum housing units. It says they're designed for inmates that require an increased level of caution and security handling. Inmates may be charged with a violent offense or have significant history of violence, and that part's fine, but then this is the bad part, or an inmate regardless of age or offense who, through the classification point system, qualify for maximum housing. That's where you have...
Okay, so you're bothered about this class, the assessment chart, right? That's what
right.
Okay, so what is it in the assessment chart that you think is... is improper.
That it, if it stayed with factors such as the underlying offense that brought the person to the jail and the criminal history and gang membership, that would, I believe, be a more rational policy. One element of this test is there an alternative means of exercising the asserted right open to inmates? Well, there isn't, because if an inmate requests...
On the assessment chart. Look, what is it on the assessment chart you don't like? You'd like stricken or replaced?
You're not talking about the description of the policy?
The chart.
You're talking
chart.
About the chart. Okay, I'm
what
sorry.
What is it on the chart you don't like?
On the chart? The fact that I don't have the chart right in front of me, but the fact that the
case is about.
I understand. I must not have brought it, but I can tell you from the chart, though, the assessment of when they look at there isn't enough emphasis put on the nature of the crimes involved. For instance, the parole hold, when they took off 3 points for the parole hold. The officer testified at this deposition, no, we don't look at what the parole hold, what the underlying crime was.
What's the parole hold?
That's where if they find out the person had been on parole, once the person's brought to the jail, they do an inquiry to find out, you know, was the person on parole when they were,
parole in
did
Illinois.
They violate their parole?
Parole in Illinois.
I believe it would be Illinois, yes, yeah, Justice Kinney. I'm sorry. It probably could be parole anywhere. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Craddock and Mr. Hardy.